That last week, Matt did an incredible job, you know, walking us through the way of judgment, what it means. And so because, I mean, the world has weaponized that, right? And against us, actually, because, you know, we have a little different and funny view or understanding of what it means to judge. But we are called as Christians to judge. Like, you are actually judging me as I speak right now. In what sense? Because you're trying to see, one, if you can understand this funny accent that is before you this morning, right? Because in most cases, some of my words is probably going to go over your head, and I'm going to try my best to speak as slowly as possible so that you can understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, right? And so you are judging me, not in the word of condemnation, but you are trying to process the words that are coming out of my mouth. What is he even talking about? Where is it coming from? Should we listen to him? Should we kind of take what he is saying to us or probably just shove it away and figure something out? So we make judgment every single day, right? And so we are called to judge. The judge, that is judgment, that is righteous, that is right in the sight of God, because I want each and every one of us to be judging the word of God. I see this very clearly in the church in Berea. You know, the Bible says that they listened to the apostles preach. They went home. They did not stop there. They opened the word of God to see or to confirm what the apostles were teaching. That is the kind of judgment God is calling us to. But today we're turning our attention to the way of dependence. We all want to have that person in our life who we can rely on, right? I want to have a dependable partner, dependable person. I want to be able to depend on my wife, to be able to count on her. But there are times that my wife fails me. There are times that I fail my wife. But God never fails us. And so we're turning our attention to the way of dependence this morning to see what is it that we can do, or what is a call? Well, what does it mean to depend on God? Because the world wants us to depend on him. You know, your spouse might want you to depend on him or her, but our ultimate goal is to depend fully on God, because he will never fail us. And so as we look at it, I want you to, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. That is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Where we continue from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. And this is what the word of God says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your face that is shining on us this morning. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being with us. Lord, we ask that you guide us and you speak to us. We've read your word and we depend solely on your spirit to whisper into our ears what you want us to take away from this passage of scripture. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we have you, we can depend on, we can seek, we can knock, and you never leave us unattended, but you open to let us in into your family. Father, we love you, and we just pray that you will speak as clearly as possible to us this morning as we seek your face and as we seek your truth. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, most of you in here, so who have, you know, children, you know what it means. My family will be joining us during the second service. And so I just texted her to let her know that I got here safely, because when I actually pulled up, I thought I had gotten lost. And I was like, you know, Matt is going to be mad at me because, you know, I don't know how far Ayrton will be, you know, from here if this is not the place. So I rolled down the glass, my window and asked, and thankfully, you know, Matt Dad said, well, you're here. Don't worry about it. I said, good. So I texted my wife and let her know that I'm here. But, you know, she is so back home, you know, trying to get the kiddos. We have three beautiful girls, and so she is trying to run them out. And so they will be with us. But it's a challenge every single day. As a parent, you know what it means. There are days that I take my kids to the park to play, you know, to have fun. Sometimes I do that because, you know, let's go out and play. But sometimes it's a way to, like, get out of the house before someone called the CPS, right? Because you're going to get in trouble. And so, but most cases, as we drive, as I get in the car, you know, driving and trying to, okay, where can we go to have fun and how long is it going to take? And by the time we get home, they will be tired and you'll be good enough so that I can have some few minutes to myself, right? I'm thinking and processing all of these things. While they're sitting in the back asking questions, they have their preference. Instead of going to, you know, the Airplane Park, which is the Lee Victory Park, they call it Airplane Park. And so they were like, can we go to the Airplane Park? And I said, you know, sometimes I will start responding and sometimes I just start ignoring. And they'll move from, you know, going there from, you know, and they have all kinds of choices. I know where I'm taking them, but guess what? They know where they want to go. And so they'll be in the back asking questions. They'll be smacking each other. They'll be grabbing. And so I'm trying to focus as I drive, you know, and they're going off and I get to a point. And so you can, as a parent, you know, you can relate to what I'm doing. My hands are getting tighter on the steering wheel. I'm looking in the rearview mirror and shaking my head and biting my lip, you know, trying, okay, can you all be quiet? And eventually I want to say, okay, can you all just be quiet? Let me focus on the road, right? And so I get, you know, they get to a point where you feel like, you know, why can't you just sit and enjoy the ride? And sometimes I do say that. Sit down, enjoy the ride. We will get there. But it goes on. And eventually I'm going to turn around and say, be quiet. And sometimes my wife will look at me and say, like, that was probably a little bit too much. Or she would look at me, if she had it too, she'd be like, yeah, I would have done the same thing. Kind of look, you right? And so the kids obviously get sad, they begin to cry, and they begin to, you know, and I kind of feel bad because I'm taking my kids out to play to have fun. And we're crying even before we get to the fun place. And I'm like, you know, what kind of parents does this set to me? And sometimes we have that, you know, the question I wanted to ask ourselves. We've been there, right? If you haven't, you will be there. That should not be discouraging to those of you who are yet to get married or to have children, to not have children. It's fun, trust me. That is the way God deals with that every single day. But as I go through the question I ask myself is that how God deals with us? Is that how he deals with that as parents? Because there come a time where I can be, you know, I can get frustrated. I can get unhappy. I can get tired of my kids. And there come a time where I could even ask them like a time out with some kind of punishment to get them to their senses, so to speak, right? But the question is, how does that God treat us? I have, you know, this horrible temper. You know, I will have temper. You know, I will get frustrated. You know, there come a time where I may even pass the kids to their grandparents or someone else just to get away from them, right? It isn't that you don't love them, you don't like them, or you don't, you know, care about them. But there just come a time where you want to be alone. And the question is, does God push us away when he has had it with us? And is it even such a thing? Has he ever had it with you and I? He has the patience. And so perhaps you have heard that, you know, God calling himself as a father is kind of like bad marketing. But that is not the case. It is actually where the passage today connects with what we talked about last week. The right judgment, you know, in the sight of God. And right judgment as we measure it against God's relationship with his people. And that is us. How is that relate to what he does for us? This is what Jesus is getting at in this passage. I think so many people, you know, struggle with the spiritual life because they have totally skewed view of what God's heart is for us. They don't get it. They try to measure it against their own. When times when there's frustration, they want to say, God probably act the way that I act when I get frustrated. But that is not the case. So many of us have a state of perpetual discouragement, continued discouragement, because we misunderstand God's nature based on the full earthly father's life. I don't get it. And I don't have it all together. I will fail as a father, but that is not. God is not the kind of father I am. I get mad, and sometimes, you know, rightfully so. And sometimes it's just because I've had a long day and I can end up taking it on my kids or even on my spouse. And the question is, does God treat us that way? And the answer is no. But because we live, because that is our nature, we often think that God acts that way. That somehow when you do something wrong, he is mad, he's angry, and he's looking out to take you out. Right? But that is not the case. Jesus knows that we, at some point, is going to fall short. We, at some point, is not going to do what we call to do. We're not always going to meet the expectations of God. But even in the midst of that, he doesn't say, I don't know you. Get away, you sinner. I don't ever want to see you. He doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't yell. I yell, right? And the excuse could be, well, I'm not God, so I have to be. Now, the ultimate goal is for us to walk according to what God is calling us. When we wrong God, you know, we often assume that he will act and feel the way we do. When we fail, it feels like we're not worthy to even stand in his presence or even call on him for help. But what Jesus does here is that he makes a moment to remind us about who exactly our Heavenly Father is and what he is like. His relationship with us. He's inviting all of us to enjoy the peace that comes from trusting in the Heavenly Father. He is opening up our hearts to know him and know him better and walk in accordance to his statutes. Not our own statutes, not in the statutes of this world, because we know that without God, this world is headed to a destructive end. But that is why he's calling on us. So Jesus gives us three words that we're going to be looking at this morning. And the first word is, he's calling us to ask. He's calling us to seek, but he's also calling us to knock. And so as we look at the first point, we're going to look at ask. And what that means is that we should come to the Lord with our needs, trusting him in all of our hearts for those needs. We can trust him. We can rely on him. We can be assured that just as he said it, he is faithful to do that which he says. And so we can be confident in that. We can stand on that solid foundation, knowing that because he has said it, he will do it, because it's a God who can and will never lie. So we can trust that. That is a solid foundation for you and I. It is worth noting that this passage of scripture has often been misinterpreted as with a prosperity gospel, because people often feels like, well, it kind of talked about, you know, if I need anything, you know, all I have to do is ask God. And if only I have just a little bit of faith, he will do it. But that is not what Jesus is talking about here. The point isn't God is going to give us anything, anytime when we ask. Because the Bible also tells us to pray and ask in accordance to the will of the Father. Whatever needs, whatever heart desires you have, we are encouraged to bring it to God, making sure that we pray in accordance to his will. If it is not in God's will, you're not going to get it. And sometimes we may not always like the answer. The answer could be yes, and the answer could be no. But sometimes when the answer is no, we often know why he hasn't answered yet. Because your expectation is for him to say yes when he is saying no. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is about laying the ethics of Christ's kingdom here on earth right now for us, even as we wait for its full fulfillment upon the return of Jesus Christ. We want to see the kingdom of God on earth. And that is one of the many reasons why I like about LifePoint family, because you have this guy who is originally from Ghana, who doesn't speak like a Middle Tennessean, you know, but I'm here sharing what the Lord has laid upon my heart to you, because we want to see the kingdom of God established right now, right here, even as we look forward to its full fulfillment upon the return of Jesus Christ. So our church down here should reflect what we're looking forward to. And that is exactly who we are. We are very diverse, not just using that word as the world uses it, right? Just to appease certain group of people. That is not what it's about. But we see our church hungering for the nations. So much so that we are sending them. Our Augustine will be leaving very soon in August. And Zion is leading that. Thank God that we are sending LifePoint to go out to the nations. That is what it means. So the kingdom of God is here. It is already inaugurated, but it's yet to be fully fulfilled upon the return of Jesus Christ. And the job of ours is that while we're waiting for him, let's start working on what it's going to look like when he comes back. And that is the beauty of our relationship with him. So the substance of asking and seeking and knocking should not be defined by your desire to obey more fully what you want, but on what God commands us to believe. It is not what you think. It is not what necessarily your desires are, because yes, the passage of scripture that talks about submit or make known our heart desire to the Lord and he will grant it can also be misinterpreted, because I mean, I can desire for something that is not godly. God is not going to answer that. And when he says no, it is not because he's a bad God or he hasn't answered. He refused to answer because it is not in accordance to his will. And that is why we call to ask in accordance to the will of the Father. Not according to my will, but according to his will. The gospel according to social media obviously tells us that, you know, it's simple. All you have to do is be good. And the question is, what is good, right? Because good may be different, obviously different in the sight of God. When we talk about something good, making, you know, the pleasures of this world might make you feel good, but it doesn't always make God feel good, because sometimes it is the sinful process that we follow to acquire all of these things. Facebook is filled with virtue signaling platitudes. You know, all we have to do is do better. Or we just have to be good person. As if that is all there is to it when it comes to being good. It's more than that, because our goodness is not in and of ourselves. Our goodness should reflect on what God has done in and through Jesus Christ, his son, on our behalf. And this process was not pleasant. We all know what Jesus went through. That is the path of goodness. It's not always going to be a path of happiness or a path of everything goes or everything smoothly. All of that stuff. It's not always the case. There are going to be challenges in this process. And even some churches, you know, perhaps you heard the phrase, you know, what would Jesus do? Or just, you know, be like Jesus. We tend to treat righteousness like it is just some easy thing that comes naturally to everyone. But that's not the case. We have to work at it. Not on our own, but as the Spirit enables and empowers us and also directs us. Because we can work all hard all we want. Sometimes we're now, you know, the goal, the ultimate goal behind that hard work, what is it that you tend to achieve, is not consistent with God. He has his ways, and we always want to make sure that our ways are consistent with his ways. He doesn't come to us and ask us, what do you want to do? We must go to him and seek his face in everything that we do. But the good news is that Jesus is not calling us to this hard task unattended. He promises to be there all along. He's going to guide us. But we have to yield our hearts to him to use that, because he is not going to work in the heart that is hardened and not want to be submissive to him. So if you haven't seen God working in your heart, you probably should be asking yourself a question, because he loves us so much so that he actually sent his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. So he's going to do everything possible. But in cases where you don't see yourself on the side of God, probably time for you to ask yourself a question. What is it that I'm doing that is not making me feel like I'm in the company of God? No matter what anyone on Facebook says, do better isn't good advice, because it is impossible to follow your own. Because I don't do good all the time. So it'd be hard for me to, you know, just be as good as Joshua and everything will be okay. Well, tomorrow you're probably going to see one side of me that is like, I didn't know that guy could do such a thing. And when that happens, it's bring discouragement. So the focus is not on me. It's not on you. And should never be on me or on you, but on God. That is what the focus should be. Jesus knows that all these things are hard. He knows that. But guess what? He's not asking you to do it yourself or on your own. He is going to be there to help you. He knows that we will struggle to reach the standards of righteousness God is calling us to. But guess what? He's not calling you to do it by yourself. He knows that we will fail. But even in the midst of our failures, he doesn't say, I'm done with you. He walks with us. He walks us through. And without his help, there is no way we can ever achieve or get to where he's calling us to go. We cannot. We better give up. We better stop trying, because we can't. That is exactly why Jesus came. Because if he had waited, he would still be waiting. And we will be dying, and we will be going to hell. But he came. And the Bible tells us that even while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinning, God sent his son to die for us. He always takes the initiative. The first step is always taken by him. We're so good at running, but he's so good at pursuing us. And that is the good thing about God. We see it from in the Garden of Eden. It was our choice. And the follow up wasn't pursuing and repenting. It was, let's try to run away from him. And we are all in here. We're all guilty of that. We're so good at running from God, but he is so good at pursuing that. And aren't you glad that he does it? Because I don't know where I would be if he had, given up pursuing me. I don't know where I would be. Thank God he never gives up. Thank God he continues to pursue us. And that is the God that we serve. He's a heavenly Father who cares so much about us that it doesn't matter how many times his children messed up, he will make sure that he come alongside to give you a good hug and tells you, it is not over. I'm going to restore you. It's going to be all right. That is the God that we have. So stop trying to do it on your own. Calling you today to ask for God's help, and he will help you. And that moves us to our second point, seek. Now, this also means that we should not only ask, but also act. Asking and seeking is two different things. But sometimes we often, we seek. And what do? Nothing. Well, that's not how it works. Are you seeking for money? The follow-up question should be, are you able to work? Then get a job. Right? Unless you are unable to work, if you're seeking for money and you have an able body to work, you should act on that seeking process by applying for jobs. So it's not just, we're going to seek. Our God is a miracle working God. I know that. He's a miracle working God. It's actually a song in Ghana. I love it. I used to sing it all the time. He is a miracle working God, but guess what? His miracles has order. He doesn't just feel like miracles. So stop looking for a miracle and get yourself a job, because the job is not going to fall from the ceiling. If it does, you'll run away from it. Get a job. And that is what it means. We're called to seek, but we also are called to act on that seeking process. Do what is expected of you in this process. Not relying on yourself, but relying on God, because he's able to see you through. The verse 7 tells us that, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Church, hear me on this. When it comes to righteousness, that's described in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus wants us to know that we have to work hard to live the life he's calling us to. Okay? We're called to work hard to the life that he's calling us to, because it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would be in this sanctuary or this chapel. Some people who want to be here, but they're not willing or at that point to give up on some of the things that the Bible is going to tell them or ask them to give up or to stop doing. If it was easy, everyone would be here. I believe that, our justification also means our right standing with God. And justification always happens instantaneously once we proclaim Christ as our Lord, as our Savior. Everything, our sins are forgiven. We have that right standing with God. It happens instantaneously, right away. That is why the thief on the cross who was dying, who was bound for hell when he cried out and defended Jesus, when the other thief was accusing him or calling him names and saying all kinds of stuff, he turned and asked Jesus, would you remember me when you come to your kingdom? And Jesus didn't say, well, okay, let me think about it. I'd like you to contact Deacon so-and-so and contact, our connect department, and fill this form And we'll kind of look at, you know, baptism process to make sure that you are where I want you to be. And then we'll take it from there. No, he didn't. Jesus looked at him and said, today, you will be with me in paradise. That is justification. You have the right standing with God instantly. It happens at that moment. But sanctification is a process. And that God is calling us. Just as we justify, he also calling us to be sanctified. And that is progressive. It takes time. It will take the rest of your Christian life on this earth until Christ calls you. And that you wake up every single day aspiring to be more like Jesus Christ today than you did yesterday. That is part of seeking. Don't just name it. It's not a prosperity gospel slogan. Don't just name it and sit and wait to claim it. It's not going to happen. You're probably going to end up stealing, which is terrible. You don't just name it and claim it. You don't just sit and sit down and do nothing. You're sick. Get off your behind and get to work. God has given you that energy. He's given you that talent. Watching Benji's trying to set up with our computer stuff and clicking and all of that. I don't know much about that. But he knows what he's doing. Aren't you glad that I'm even speaking with this? Matt had to help me hook this thing up with my head. Right? I mean, it puts some effort. He has done it before. And so we can't just sit and do nothing. We call to do something even in the seeking process. That is what I mean. The question then is, how do we do it? Let's read and study and meditate and apply the word of God in our lives. That is the process. We want to know more about God. Let's read and study about God. And not only that, let people around us know what God is doing in our lives. We're not called to be spiritual selfish people. Don't hold it to yourself. You know what God has done for you. Let people around you know what he's doing. It is great. It's not puffing yourself up. That is what we're called to do. We're called to tell our stories to the nations. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our family. Let's pray for our neighbors. Let's pray for our city, our nation. And God knows that we must pray for the United States of America. You know that. Even if you live under a rock, you know something is wrong with this nation. I can speak to issues like that because I'm not a citizen of the United States. I don't belong to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. I'm not even independent. I'm telling it as God is calling us to say, and you know that something is wrong with this country. And something is wrong with Ghana as well. I'm not just picking on the United States. Something is wrong with our world. And we cannot afford to sit idle, sit without doing anything. We need to call on God. But even that process is not just for like 5-3 minutes prayer, and then you walk away and do nothing about it. We can pray all we want, but we have to back it up with actions. Are you praying for God to send missionaries to the mission field? Well, why don't you apply the life on sending interest form? And let's go from there, right? Act. God is calling us to not just sit down and call things and expect it to happen, but we need to move. Perhaps we can also, you know, we can also think that. You might be thinking, you know, wait, I thought you just, you know, said that, you know, we often grow in our faith because we aren't asking God's help, you know. And so why are you suggesting now that we may grow our faith by preaching the spiritual disciplines and also obeying? Well, that's exactly what I've already talked about. Things just don't happen. You didn't just happen to be in this room, right? You got up this morning. It may have been difficult for you to get up. Had it not been the Lord's day, you'll probably still be sleeping. Maybe because, you know, but you were here. You got up, you brushed your teeth, you put some clothes on, you know, then you got out, take the car, and then you drove, and you're here. You didn't just happen to be here. If God wanted to, let's make it happen for you, it could possibly happen. Right? Because he's God and he's able to do it. But there's some kind of process that he's followed, you know, to be able to do that. We need to understand that we are not just called to sit back and watch things or watch the world pass by us. We're called to be fully engaged. We're never going to grow in our faith if we don't get on the side of God or allow God to move and to use and to direct our path. The book of Romans tells us, Romans 8:13 said that, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will do what? You will live. So in other words, we are called to die to the things of the world so that we can be alive with God. We can be alive not just to please and to do what we want to do, but to do what God is calling us to do. If anything, we're asking God to help us for is our spiritual life. We must accompany that with what? Effort on our part. We need to put some work to it. And there's the days that, you know, I'm unable to spend time with the Lord as I should. And you have those days that you wish you could read the Word of God, but you just don't, you can't make time for it. You're busy taking care of kids or job-related stuff and all of that. Why? Because, you know, those are legitimate reasons, but they come upon where you will feel when the spiritual part of you will, like, you know something is wrong. You're not as connected with God as you should be, right? And when that happens, you know, we need to understand that God's word teaches that God's word is our compass, our daily compass, our daily GPS. One of the things that I love using GPS, because I'm only here because, you know, if it were my GPS, I don't know. I'll probably still in this neighborhood running around trying to figure out where to go. But the word of God is our compass. It leads us. It directs us. It orders our steps. And that is what we need to be doing. Do you want to know how to live a life that is worthy of God's calling? Then you need to study. You need to read the word of God. Let his word be on your heart. How do we do that? Study the word. Submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We can pray all we want, but we also need to do something about that which we're praying. But we also need to intentionally make that time. There is time for everything, says Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? Perhaps you read it. There's time for everything. There's season for everything. There's time to pray and there's time to act. There's time to be expecting God to do something, but there comes a time when you are supposed to be doing something about what you've been praying for. And we need to understand that. The prophet Jeremiah put this so beautifully in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, which is inserted, you know, it's just amazing. When God is at work, because we actually read this passage of scripture already, part of it. I'm looking specifically at 29, 13, and it says, you will seek me and find me when you do what? When you seek me with all of your heart. It's not halfway, half out kind of attitude. God wants us holistically in there. We need to seek him, and we need to seek him with all of our hearts. Are you partially seeking God, or are you seeking him fully? Have you given your whole heart to God, or you've given 50% of your heart to God and the rest for yourself so that you can figure out what to do with it? God wants you all. He wants your whole heart. And that moves us to our last point, knock. This means that we should be persistent and confident in what we're asking God to do for us or what we're seeking from God. Verse 7 to 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and for everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened to him. Have you heard back in the day, we had a phrase back in the day, and you know, sometimes when somebody uses that phrase, you know, they're referencing something that happened in the past. You know, that's no longer the case today. Back in the day, if I wanted to speak to George, you know, what do? I walk up to George's front door and knock, right? Not today. If I want to talk to you, I don't have to. I have my cell phone. Get on it and send a text message or call you. But we actually get into a point, the scary part is, we actually get into a point where we don't even want to call people. You don't want to have the physical contact, you don't want to talk. Let me just send this simple message, that way I don't have to hear the voice on the other side. That is what our society is getting today. You text, we call. But back in the day, you get up, you go, you knock, you say hello, you have word, you know, one-on-one, conversational, relational stuff is missing today, which is one of the many things that is wrong with our culture today. Because personal connectivity, we don't have it. We're the most connected, you know, generation ever, but we're also the most, you know, what, separated, lonely generation. But we feel like that will bring us together. Yes, in some way it is. But at the same time, it is pulling us apart. Knocking here, you know, shouldn't be misunderstood or understood as much of different than asking. But the difference is the persistence that is associated with it. Knock. And it will be given. Knock. You can be let in. Knock. And the door will be open to you. When I was getting ready to do my final touches on this sermon, you know, I was at my house and trying to do area, what I call the office area, but, you know, kids running back and forth. As I tried to focus, you know, trying, okay, I can't get this. You know, how am I going to say this? You know, what does it mean? You know, what is God trying to say there? Back and forth, you know, and I'm like, I'm trying to zero in. They're running back and forth. Ask some questions. Can we have applesauce? Can we have gummies? Can we have this? Can we have this? And I'm saying, okay, I'm like, okay. You know, and I couldn't. I had to actually leave the house. I went to my office just to be away. Now, that may sound like mean, but you know why I did it. So, again, going back to last, you know, week, don't judge me, right? That is what the world would say. Don't you judge me. I had to step away so that I can focus. I can be ready for today. But it was back and forth until I get to a point, okay, go to your room and play. That's a box full of toys. Did I waste my money? Come on, go make good use of them toys. Go in there. And sometimes they will go. And they run back in there. Actually, I gave them time at the time before I actually gave us, okay. I told my wife, I had to go, you know, I had to go to my office because I can't do this. They went into the room, play a few minutes later, you know, to them screaming, you know, and yelling. And they all ran up and then come up to me. I said, I'm trying to, Daddy, we're bored. I said, go back in your room and play with the toys. And my reaction is, you know, I have stuff to do. And of course I have stuff to do. I had to be ready for this morning. But what was my attitude towards my kid? Sometimes it's very, you know, it's hard. I'm a natural man. I'm a sinner. But God is not. He is different. He is powerful. He is merciful. And my reaction, you know, I will yell. As most of you in here have. Have you had those days that you're like, that was a little like, yeah. And I've had time that I actually, you know, apologize to my own kids. The oldest is only 6 years. The youngest is 2. But I've apologized. Their mom has apologized to them. Because it's just at the moment you yell, you scream, and you're like, that was too much. That is the God that we worship. Now, I'm not saying that God comes to us and apologizes to us. He doesn't even make that mistake to come and apologize. But as sinful man as I am, when I sin against God, I should repent from that, even in front of my little children. That is his call for all of that. So, church, I want to encourage you. What is it that you're dealing with? What is it that you have been knocking at the door, expecting and asking God to do? What is it? He is faithful. He can do it. Look at verse 11. Or which one of you, if his son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Which one of you would you do that? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? Would you do that as a parent? Or if you then, who are evil, and he's talking to us, right? As evil as we are, we will not do it. If you, as evil as we are, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more with your heavenly Father? Right? Give. Perfect. Great. Awesome. Amazing gift to those who ask for it. That is what we do to our children. We want to make sure that we have the perfect gift for our children. God loves us. There are days that, you know, you might, you know, feel like, okay, it's so good. And I've had those days, like, and you have as parents. I kept coming back to you those who are parents, like, that this, okay, you really want this thing, you have to work at it. I will give you a special, you know. And that kind of like, I kind of, some point I'm like, am I bribing my kids to get them to do what they're supposed to do? Because we know bribery is not good. Bribery is, you know, But I come to time as parent, like, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, you will only have this if you do this. Or will you come get this and just leave me alone, so to speak? You wouldn't put it that way, but you know, when you're like, you know, gummies, you love gummies, okay, here we go. And then they take it and walk away. But it only take like a few minutes. They're back for something more, right? But, you know, the question is, you know, sometimes we may even get them. They're being good on their good behavior. Take them to Chick-fil-A and give them Christian chicken filled with the Spirit of God. Right? You can't go wrong with that. When you get that Chick-fil-A sauce on it, it's totally different level, right? Sometimes, you know, when they behave, you can reward them. You can take them. We know how to serve our kids. We love them. We give them what they want. And the question is, do you not know that your Heavenly Father knows you just as much as you do with your kid? He loves you. He's going to take care of you. And so as we end, the difference between you and God the Father is that He is perfect. But I'm not. He is good, but I'm not. He doesn't, you know, let laziness or bitterness or frustration, you know, get in the way between him and his children. He doesn't tell us to get out of here and don't ever come back to me. He encourages us when we feel discouraged. He loves to hear your cries for help. He spent time with us every single day. He's spending time with us right now, and we're seeking to hear what he has to say to us. All of us, we need to understand that. Every time you come short, every time you fail, every time that you feel like you're not at where God wants you to be at, come back to him again and again and throw yourself at the mercy of the Heavenly Father. Let's be on our feet. And it's very important that we know the God we serve, and we need to be able to stand on the promises of our God and to know what he's calling us to do and know his desire for us. Will you please stand to your feet as we bring our service to an end? God, the way of dependence, and is it that you need to ask yourself this morning, what is it that you want to depend on God? He has our best interest at heart. Let's bow down in prayer, and as I answer with a prayer, I need you to search your heart. What is it that you've been asking God for? What is it that you've been knocking for? What is it that you've been seeking? Are you solely dependent on God to provide and to move? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your word. We thank you that you're God who can be depended upon. We thank you, Lord, that you don't shove us away when we sin, when we go contrary to the teaching of your word. May you pursue us. Thank you for your mercies, your grace. And I pray that you will continue to cause us to walk in your footsteps and fellowship and follow you. Help us not to give up on asking or give up on seeking or give up on knocking, because you actually want us to do those things, so that you can come into our hearts and lead and guide and move us to places where you want us to be. Father, we love you and we thank you. What is anyone in here that questions Lord Jesus Christ as a way of depending on you? Lord, we pray that you will open the hearts of your people and let us continue to depend on you, because we cannot depend on ourselves, our spouses, our families, because all those people can fail us, but you would never fail us. You are our perfect Heavenly Father. In your hands, we commit all our heart desires, knowing that you will grant them, because that is your promises. In your Son, Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.